start reading from Srila Dhammacharya Charitamrita, Adiyuga chapter 4, text number. Satcha e hetu kintu eha bahiranga a eka hetu shuna acce antaranga. How do you do it? You don't, if you don't chant the Shishwan. Although this is true, this is but the external reason for the Lord's incarnation. Please hear another reason, the confidential reason for the Lord's appearance. Purport. In this verse, in the third chapter, fourth verse, it has been clearly said that Lord Chaitanya appeared to distribute love of Krishna and the chanting of his transcendental holy name, Hare Krishna. That was the secondary purpose of Lord Chaitanya's appearance. The real reason is different, as we shall see in this chapter. Om Jnana Timanandasya Jnanandana Shalakya Chakshun Vritam Yena Tazmai Shri Guru Vendama Jai Shri Krishna Jai Tanya Guru Nana Shri Advaita Gadatma Shri Vasati Guru Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. This fourth chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita begins with a very provoking statement that should cause us to think deeply. That's just what I mean. To cause us to think deeply about Lord Chaitanya and his effects upon the living entity. Those of you who are older devotees, you are aware of the extent, to some degree at least, of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Those of you who are new devotees, you may sometimes wonder what's all the fuss about. Or, all glories, but how does it apply to me now? Let us consider this verse from at the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, especially as a keynote for discussing the themes that you'll find presented in the chapter. Sri Chaitanya Prasadena Tad Rupasya Vinirnayam Balopi Kurute Shastam Trista Braja Velasina. By the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even a foolish child can fully describe the real nature of Lord Krishna, the enjoyer of the pastimes of Braj, according to the vision of the revealed scriptures. Now please think about this as we get deeper into this chapter. Krishna's pastimes, his Braj Leela, they're the most confidential part of spiritual knowledge. Krishna as Braja Vilas, the enjoyer of the pastimes of Vrindavan with his intimate loving devotees, cannot be understood even by the greatest mundane scholars. Only those who have eyes of devotion can understand these activities. Yet, here we see, Kaviraj Goswami says, even a foolish child can fully describe this Braja Leela, if that foolish child has Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Now just see, what, from the material point of view, based on material prowess and academic ability, even the greatest mundane scholar has no access to, a foolish child can fully understand, and understand to the extent that that child can fully describe the Braj Leela. Well, this is the effect of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Sometimes devotees feel a little discouraged, in their spiritual life due to the flickering of the mind and also due to the weak determination that is so common in the age of color these days. Don't be surprised if your determination is weak when you look at the activity so prevalent in this dark age. The vices of Kali Yuga have their effect. They destroy your determination. So, in that sense, everyone is weak, but when they approach Lord Chaitanya, they can get spiritual strength. So, in one sense, you're right to feel like, oh, this is hopeless. Maybe sometimes some of you feel like, oh, will I make it? I'm just a new devotee. Will I be able to hold on, control my senses? Will I be able to resist the call of Maya? And even the older devotees, they may wonder, can I keep up in the race? Can I keep my place? You have a right to think like that, except for one thing. Because of Lord Chaitanya's mercy, anyone can successfully understand Krishna, even to the extent of describing Krishna to others, describing Krishna's most intimate activities and nature. This is why we're so focused on Lord Chaitanya. As you know, he's Krishna giving freely what Krishna ordinarily will not give. Just like you yourself will ordinarily not freely give knowledge and awareness of yourself. It's only to your close friends. You just don't go publicly reveal your intimate characteristics. You won't go out on the street here and just walk up to a stranger and say, I'd like to tell you all about my inner life. None of you will do that. Because you won't walk out into the main street and just walk up to someone and say, you know, I really want to discuss my life with you. Everyone knows you don't do like that. First, you have to have the confidence of the person. They have to have some time of acting as your well-wisher, and then you begin to want to exchange with them. Krishna's like that also. He has great reserve. Krishna's very particular. Let us not shy away from understanding that Supreme Personality of Godhead is a person. That means he has discrimination, reservations, sensitivities. You are the part and parcel of Krishna. How can you have sensitivities and personal reservations and predilections if Krishna doesn't have that? So this is the full understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet it's still that same Krishna who says in Bhagavad Gita, Naam Prakasha Sarvasya Yoga Maya Samaraja. I'm not manifest to everyone. I've got my scruples. I've got my personal reservations about who can see me and understand me. That same Krishna, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, distributes himself freely without reservation. So this is why we have hope to perform our spiritual life in this dense, dark age, in which people measure their progress in terms of everything except their spiritual advancement. This is the whirlpool that threatens our spiritual stability. Measuring our life's development and our personal fulfillment in terms of everything except advancement in bhakti. Please think about this. How the material energy works upon you to push your life in another direction, to measure your life's success in another way. By hearing Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, you'll always be able to keep in mind that the goal of life is indeed to develop love for Krishna, and that is a lifetime career. Indeed, what's wrong with spending life after life in the endeavor to develop pure love? There's nothing else better to do. Indeed, because that quest to develop pure love, in relation, of course, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because that quest is so glorious, great devotees don't even worry whether they're in the so-called material world or the spiritual world. They're oblivious to that. They don't even notice. Is this the material world I'm in? Is this the spiritual world? Because they're so absorbed in that quest for better and better love for Krishna. There's one very beautiful prayer in the fourth canto where the prachetas are praying. And they say, our dear Lord, we're contaminated and therefore we know we're going to wander in the cycle of material existence. We don't mind that. We realize our nature. But we simply pray that wherever we wander, we have the association of devotees who will glorify you. Now, of course, they are great devotees, but they're taking that humble position, not artificially. Let's just say that we're contaminated. It sounds good in the shloka. it's devotee lingo. I'm really fallen, Prabhu. I'm really low. Meanwhile, we all think we're so great. No, they're actually feeling that way. That humble feeling is a natural outgrowth of their devotion. Because the paradoxical nature of love of Krishna is that the more you have, the less you think you have, and the more you think you need. You can never get enough. The more you experience love of Krishna, the more you realize there's so much more to be had. He goes on and on eternally like that. So the humility is natural. It's not something contrived. So the prachetas, they pray like that. Because of our material contamination, we know we'll wander throughout the species of life. But we just pray that we'll have the association of devotees who are glorifying Krishna. Actually, if they have the association of devotees who are glorifying Krishna, Srila Prabhupada points out in the purport, they have the spiritual world. They already have it. This is something to think about very deeply. We should take the opportunity we have now for associating with devotees as Krishna giving us the spiritual world. It's like we had such a nice kirtan this morning. There you have your spiritual world experience, which gets more and more intense as your bhakti develops. We shouldn't take these things lightly. Oh, it's just a kirtan. I've been with these prabhus here in Swansea for how many years now? I haven't given them. No, each time for kirtan is a chance for a new revelation of the spiritual world. Each time we gather to hear about Krishna, it's a chance for some new insight into the spiritual world. Krishna will show you. You might be listening in class to someone, you know, you've heard speak, you know, so often. That person can't say anything new. That's just one of the prabhus around here. You'll be shocked if you stick it out to see how from what you think is the ordinary can come something extraordinary. If you sincerely listen to devotees in that way, you'll always find some gems. And you're always amazed. You see, the sangha of the bhaktas, the sangha of the devotees, is a chance to always be amazed by the qualities of the devotees, by their abilities, by how Krishna is using them. So you can listen to a devotee who you just consider, oh, he or she is just one of the members of the crew here. Yeah. But Krishna will reveal newer and newer insights as that devotee speaks. Because the subject matter is Krishna, that means there's no limit. You'll be surprised at the insights you can glean. So, we want to enter the spiritual world through devotional service. Whether or not we go to the spiritual world in the physical sense, according to our limited understanding, that's not very important. What is important is that we seize the opportunity to glorify Krishna in the association of devotees. Then we are already in the spiritual world. This takes quite some time and consideration to understand. I've already got everything I need by Lord Chaitanya's grace. Simply, things will become more intensified and developed in the course of my devotional progress. But if we don't take seriously what we already have, and if we start to become casual about what we already have, oh, the same Prabhus, the same place, the same roster problems, who's going to do this, who's going to do that. When we start looking at devotional service in that way, we're missing our opportunity. Therefore, a devotee is always praying to Krishna, please let me see the eternal, ever-increasing freshness of this devotional situation. You have to beg for that. Another verse in the fourth canto of Bhagavatam explains that for a devotee who has pleased the Supreme Lord, the super soul in that devotee's heart makes it apparent, makes things obvious how devotional service is ever fresh. That vision, to see that Navarasa, that is supplied by the super soul in the heart in response to your devotional service. So we endeavor powerfully in devotional service. Powerfully means with everything we can give. And we beg, let me see that freshness. Let me not take the situation for granted. You know, when you're a new devotee, it looks like every devotee, every other devotee is just shining, full of effulgence. They're all so saintly. Then after a while, you start to be able to discriminate. This one looks absolutely spaced out. This one, I don't know where his or her mind is. That one's just trying to give me a hard time, giving me all the, menial service to do. But this way, after a while, you start, making calculations and judgments. But remember what it was like when you first came upon the association of devotees? They all looked like angels. Wow! And you felt just a duck among swans. We want that sense of freshness to stay. What diminishes it is familiarity. Now, the solution is not to become naive and unknowing like a new devotee. The solution is to become a mature devotee with wisdom who can see the eternal freshness of devotional service. That's what we want. I might have explained before that the ideal combination which we should aspire for is the enthusiasm and idealism of the new devotee combined with the experienced wisdom of the older devotee. Sometimes, the two are separate. The newer devotees are enthusiastic. Wow! Fired up. Nectar. Everything, every little thing is like, wow! And then the other side, you have the older devotees, experienced, and, sometimes they're, been there, done that. Hare Krishna. How you all? Things are going on. We're all going. We're all trying to go back to Godhead. So you have these two different outlooks, these two different camps. The fresh enthusiasm, idealism, youthful enthusiasm, in terms of youthfully coming to Krishna consciousness. Wow! And you have the older devotees. Been around for a few years. They've seen the material desires rise and fall. They've seen a few people come and go. They've seen a few disappointments. So they can become a bit jaded. Nothing to get too excited about. Just routine devotional service is going on. Yeah, kirtan, kijai. Sankirtan, kijai. The ideal thing is to combine the two. To combine the fresh enthusiasm of the new devotees with the mature wisdom of the older devotees. Then you have the award-winning combination. So the new devotees should aspire to add to their mix the mature wisdom, experienced wisdom of the older devotees. But the older devotees should try to siphon off that fresh enthusiasm of the new devotees. Should try to siphon off their attitude. That glint in their eyes, everything is magical, you know. That's not just something for the new devotees. It's eternally like that. But unfortunately, if you stick around for a while and start making offenses, then that magic goes away. You start to become familiar with the bhakti scene. Yeah, we come here every day and we sing our songs. And yeah, another day, you know, the restaurant, Sankirtan, preaching Kijai. We just get this routine feeling because we're making offenses, and our hearing and chanting becomes slack, and then we start to see what's around us with material vision. Actually, an easy way to avoid this pitfall is to always have the daily priority to chant the Hare Krishna mantra with attention. That will always keep you fresh. You'll never feel like, I've conquered the Hare Krishna mantra, I've got the chanting down. You'll never feel that way. It's always more. Some days you think, whoa, that was really nice, my chanting session. But then the next morning you realize, wow, there's so much more to be had. Some days you really feel bad about your chanting. I really spaced out and stuff up here. I'll try better. There'll always be much more Krishna to be had. And in the pursuit of hearing the holy name with attention, you'll remain ever fresh. You're never going to rest on your laurels. You're never going to just relax, saying, now I've gotten Krishna. I've gotten the holy name. No. Pursuing the holy name means to pursue Krishna. So that's the easiest way how to keep ever fresh in devotional service. Also, a devotee has to know how to seize the opportunity to glorify Krishna. Just like a materialist seizes the opportunity for sense gratification. Like Friday night, yesterday, I could see the people, even though it was just, 7 o'clock or so, I could see that they were ready for their Friday night mood of seizing the opportunity for material happiness. That outgoing attitude, you know, when they wander around the streets with that look on their face, it's Friday night. Where is it? We're going to grab it. We're going to seize it. A devotee has that attitude about devotional service and glorifying Krishna. Where is the opportunity to glorify Krishna? Let's seize it. These are practical things that we can do, which will make all the difference. We have those propensities. If they're not used in Krishna's service, then we'll use them in the service of illusion. So the devotee is always eager for an opportunity to glorify Krishna. Eager for an opportunity to serve Krishna. That's what keeps you fresh. That eagerness. Ultimately, that eagerness, by the grace of Lord Chaitanya, as you progress in devotional service, the goal for that eagerness is to become lolyam, intense greed. The lolyam, the greed that Rupa Goswami talks about, is not something found in the material world. You all know what it's like to be greedy for something material. What is that feeling like? Even though you've gotten something, you must have more. Like you could become greedy, let's say for cheesecake. You had one piece. It's good, but you've got to have more. I'll take it up. Have another piece. Well, I'm having another. More and more. This is greed. You know it's good. You've experienced it, and you've got to have more. Never mind the consequences. Right? Never mind how I'll feel tomorrow. I've got to have more cheesecake now. reminds me of the early days in Christian consciousness, when everyone was just understanding the value of Mahaprasad. I remember when I was in Nubhakta. It's not so bad now, but back then when you were in Nubhakta, 1972 or something, you heard so many Prabhupada says and this is and that, so many platitudes that this came out of nowhere, but they assumed the nature of the absolute truth. So I remember when I was a new devotee, they told me, in 7 years you'll have a body composed of Mahaprasad. I was like, really, okay. And in 10 years you'll be able to remember everything you've heard. Another one, I guess it was to explain the lack of warm water at the temple. Because the showers in the morning were just ice cold. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, a warm shower is worse than sex life. Anyone ever hear that one anymore? Ooh, I don't want that. So there were all these statements, for the new devotees to memorize, as the absolute truth. So, Mahaprasad, the word was out. Just one taste of Mahaprasad, you're liberated. So actually, as soon as the Maha came off the altar, so many devotees were just, waiting around, And of course, those devotees who had service outside the temple, Sankirtan, the BBT was in New York then, they would have someone, put aside some Maha for them. And no one could resist this easy chance for liberation. Things got so intense that devotees started, breaking into the pajari room and stealing the Maha and all sorts of things like that. Finally, what the temple started doing was locking their Mahaprasad in the cabinet. But then they would have to leave some kind of hole in the cabinet for air to get in, to keep, so the prasad would stay fresh. And then devotees would kind of stick their hands down the hole, and try to grab some sweets and pull it out. So then the temple president started putting nails, guarding the hole. If you try to stick your head in, it could scrape my nails. It's a really intense thing. You got to guard the Maha. often, it happened several times, I remember, when devotees were going to, some devotee fell into Maya and wanted to leave Krishna consciousness. They would always do it at night while everyone was sleeping. They would pack their bags. And often they would have a rendezvous arranged with a brahmachari from the ashram, let's leave together. But whenever they would leave, they would first at night plunder all the Maha on their way out the door. So the devotees would wake up in the morning, and because everyone, was up in the morning, they would, where's so-and-so Prabhu? Where's so-and-so Dasi? Oh, they've gone. Quick, check the Maha cabinet! Oh no! It's all gone! we are worried about them going. Oh no, I'm scared to buy the space. They took the Maha. That's the way it was. you check the cabinets bare. The guy would take off with the brahmachari and, big pile of milk sweets, sweet rice, everything from the Sundara, the evening offering, all the savories, and then he would bloop. And usually, a month or two later, he would reappear again at the Sunday feast. And not that the devotees were like, oh, "Welcome, Prabhu. What happened?" No, just, "You took them off."
Unforgivable offense. So,
the freshness, the enthusiasm, that's what is very attractive. We shouldn't lose that, although now we have more knowledge. We have to combine that knowledge with the freshness, the enthusiasm, and then we have a very powerful combination for going back to Godhead. So the older devotees should be looking to the new devotees for siphoning off that fresh vision they have of Krishna consciousness. Associating with the new devotees is a chance not only for you to impart your wisdom and experience, but it's also a chance that you can take something from them, that fresh attitude. You know what it felt like when you first came to Krishna consciousness. Wow, Lord Chaitanya's mercy. You climbed out of the pit of Kali Yuga, and wow. So, you don't want to lose that. You don't want to become jaded and cynical as you become an older devotee. You want that freshness that the new devotees so evidently have. So by your associating with them, you can kind of siphon it off for yourself. Just add it to your repertoire. Add it to your wisdom and experience. And this way, everyone can benefit each other in the association of devotees. And this way, you'll be able to see that, actually, by glorifying Krishna in the association of devotees, I already have the spiritual world. Now, this chapter is describing how Lord Chaitanya had an apparent external reason for appearing and an internal reason. What our Sampradaya has done, you can so prominently see it in the, from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur through Srila Prabhupada and down to us today, is the skillful weaving of the internal and external reasons of Lord Chaitanya's appearance. This is a miracle. It's very astonishing. There are many Vaishnavas in this world, and there are many Gaudiya Vaishnavas, but very few of them have the insight to go back and forth between the inside and the outside and show how the two feed each other in a symbiotic relationship. Very few can do that. That is Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's specialty that he handed down to Srila Prabhupada. Especially, of course, you know, Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur. But it especially becomes prominent in an organized way, in an institutional way, through this part of the Sampradaya. And you don't see that elsewhere. It's very difficult for most Gaudiya Vaishnavas how to combine these two things, the external preaching with the internal relishing of the confidential rasas. It's very difficult to combine the two. But Srila Prabhupada did it with ease, jumping back and forth, weaving them together, showing how they feed each other. This is truly inconceivable. So this chapter is describing that Lord Krishna appeared for annihilating the miscreants, performing the Yuga Dharma. All that actually was the work of Vishnu, who's there with Krishna because at the time of Krishna's appearance, all the avatars also come. All the expansions are also there in the Om Purnam, Swayam Bhagavan, the original personality of Godhead. Krishna's main purpose in appearing is not to maintain the universe, but to demonstrate the Vrindavan pastimes. But because Vishnu is also coming along with Krishna, some routine universal maintenance work goes on, killing a few demons like that. Now Lord Chaitanya, he comes and he is spreading the Harinam Sankirtan, but he has an internal secret purpose, as you know, of trying to understand three things. What is the position What does the position of Srimati Radharani feel like in her relationship to Krishna? What is the sweetness in Krishna that she tastes? And what is the pleasure that she tastes in relationship to Krishna? As you know, Lord Caitanya is Krishna trying to understand these things. In that way, Krishna is still the supreme enjoyer. Krishna's wondering, I think my dearest devotee, Srimati Radharani, is enjoying more than I am in our relationship. But if that is true, how can Krishna be the supreme enjoyer? But he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the position of Srimati Radharani, and in that way still retains the position as the supreme enjoyer. Krishna's noticing, the devotees have more pleasure than God does. All right, since I'm the supreme enjoyer, I'll come as a devotee and taste the highest pleasure as a devotee. So you know these things, that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, what about the external and the internal? Sometimes you'll meet Gaudiya Vaishnavas who say, oh, the external is inferior. That's meant for the devotees who are not so realized. Those who, devotees who are rasa bhaktas, they just focus on the interior, the internal reasons, the confidential reasons for Lord Chaitanya's success. Those who are rasikas. Whereas the neophytes or less advanced devotees, they get into preaching. And we hear this from time to time. This is a misunderstanding of Lord Chaitanya's appearance. For Lord Chaitanya, the external is important. In the material sense, the external of something is not important. But in Chaitanya Lila, the external, meaning what is obvious for the general public, is very important. In fact, the external and the internal nourish each other. And that is how Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada have given us our approach to Krishna consciousness. The internal and the external are in a symbiotic relationship. They feed on each other. It's not that, well, preaching, that's just something you do on the side. It's not so important. The real thing is, you know, your relishing of the rasa, hearing about the Vrindavan Leela. Now, Srila Prabhupada shows so powerfully in action how both realms feed upon each other, nourish each other. Just like once in L.A., there was a controversy. The Sankirtan devotees were going around saying that the verse Nikunjayana Ratikereshiga Yayali Vir Yukti Akashmiya, the spiritual master is always engaged in assisting in the Leela of Radha and Krishna, helping to arrange their rendezvous in the Kunja, in the groves of Vrindavan. So the Sankirtan devotees were saying, yes, this applies to the Sankirtan devotees. By their going out and meeting the public, trying to connect them to Krishna, they're engaged in confidential rasa, just like this verse of Sri Shastika says. So other devotees are saying, ooh, this is getting a bit fanatical here. The Sankirtan devotees are always trying to show their superiority. They're trying to always, you know, say that their service is the best service. So here's another instance of that fanaticism. How dare they suggest that their activities of approaching people on the street are equivalent to Nikunjayana Ratikereshiga. So, the way it was back then, whenever there was controversy like that, immediately you write Srila Prabhupada. So, Srila Prabhupada replied, astonishingly, yes, this is true. Everyone's mouth dropped. Yes, this is true. By the Sankirtan devotees' efforts to connect people to Krishna, they're in the mood of this shloka of the Guru Bhastik prayers. So this is quite astonishing. Also, Srila Prabhupada, in instructing the Bhaktivedanta Institute, he would say things like, the more you kick on Darwin's face, the more you worship Radha and Krishna. This is an approach to spirituality that is quite dynamic. It's not closeted. It's not cloistered. We just stay in a little room and just stay away from everybody and everything, and we just read Krishna Leela, and that's all, because that is the internal reason for Lord Chaitanya's descent. We want the internal. We don't want the external. Now, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur demonstrated that the surest and quickest access to the internal is through these preaching activities. They provide the surest access. And the two realms nourish each other. Just like Srimati Radharani recommends devotees to Krishna. What does she say? My dear Krishna, this devotee is better than me. You please accept him. So, similarly, those who are doing the service of preaching, they're recommending devotees. They're trying to connect devotees to Krishna's service. So, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they had that. They were able to present that holistic vision about the internal reasons for Lord Chaitanya and the external reasons all working together. Otherwise, the tendency is to split these two realms, because an ordinary soul, an ordinary devotee, cannot see how to combine these two realms. Well, here on the one side you have preaching, going out, associating with degraded persons. So many of Prabhupada's godbrothers, you know what they said? Oh, you're Bhaktivedanta Swami, he's done a very good thing, but I myself do not have the taste for associating with low-class persons. They say like that. I myself would rather just savor in a solitary place in Lord Chaitanya's Leela, Radha Krishna Leela. It's hard for any but the most realized souls to see how to combine these two. Otherwise it looks like, on the one hand, you have going out and meeting people who are completely degraded, who are completely bewildered, and here you are having knowledge of the most intimate truths of Krishna Leela. How are you going to combine these two things? The extraordinary confidential nectar of Krishna's pastimes with the extraordinary degradation of Kali Yuga and its denizens. It's like sometimes you just say, ah. But Srila Prabhupada was so insistent that we have a holistic culture of Krishna consciousness. And he would always explain that actually the safest and truest access to the internal affairs of Krishna is through preaching. This is something for us to think about. We don't deny either side, the internal or the external. They both function as a symbiotic whole, feeding each other. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada so powerfully represented Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and wouldn't compromise on this point. Meeting Krishna through the order of the spiritual master to preach Krishna consciousness. This order coming down through parampara unites the internal and the external in a way that is so extraordinarily powerful. So that is the heritage of our sampradaya. That's what makes it so dynamic and active. And we shouldn't forget that. Otherwise, we could get bewildered. Like, what am I doing preaching? I should just be sitting down and just reading Lord Chaitanya's confidential reasons for coming to this world, his wanting to understand Srimati Radharani. I should just concentrate on that. Forget these people out there. They're crazy. one hand, you have such exalted, ecstatic knowledge. On the other hand, you have the wild degradation of Kali Yuga. How do you combine the two? Who would want to, anyway? Normally, we would not want to combine these two things. Preaching, in the worst circumstances, with relishing the most extraordinary confidential nectar. Ordinarily, who would want to combine it? But Prabhupada combined it. As Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur did. That is the super excellence of the Sampradaya. No split, no duality between the internal and the external. Both are woven together and feed on each other. That's something for you to think about as you consider this chapter in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Any questions?
Arjun, I was I've been thinking about a statement you made in class yesterday, and kind of it's the question that I had from yesterday, but it kind of relates to something you were saying today about how as we go on in Krishna consciousness, things can become stale, or not stale, but we can become familiar. So yesterday you mentioned that at the point in our spiritual life where we make a conscious effort to satisfy the senses of Krishna, then we become like that. You said, and that's like a landmark in a devotee's life. So I was meditating on that point of satisfying the senses of Krishna. And I just thought that was quite a profound statement of yours, and I just wanted to ask you to expand on that a little bit, what you meant by how we practically do, like meditate or consciously make an effort to do that.
Because of the contamination of this Kali Yuga, we actually don't realize how impersonal we are when it comes to dealing with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When it comes to dealing for ourselves, we can be very personal when it comes to satisfying ourselves. But when it comes to Krishna, some vagueness enters into the situation. Krishna, oh, you're right. But when it comes to your own situation and your own senses, you see everything clearly, right? Maya makes very clear presentations to you. You just need a little of this. Christ, dear life. It's all very clear. But when it comes to Krishna, everything gets a bit murky. Krishna ki jaya, devotional service ki jaya. I don't know. I got needs, I got desires. So, if we see how personal we can be about our ordinary affairs, we'll realize we have the capacity to be personal and devotional service in relation to Krishna. Thinking about Krishna's senses means admitting that Krishna is a person. A person has senses. You begin to consciously meditate. How I want to please the senses of Krishna today. We've meditated before in material life about how to please our senses or how to please someone else's senses, hoping they'll please our senses. So it's not unknown to us. Even in mundane relationships. If you've ever had that feeling of going out and buying a gift for someone in a matinee, not a gift you were forced to get out of social etiquette, but a gift that you really wanted to get because, you know, you appreciated the person, or you wanted the person to appreciate you. And so, you remember that feeling? You're going to buy a gift for someone. What will they like? Ooh, I don't know if they'll like this. What about that? And, I like getting gifts for Vaishnavas. So, it's quite pleasurable. You know, oh, what would this devotee like? You know, this. Oh, it's a whole meditation. Actually, one of the six loving exchanges taught by Rupa Goswami. So, we know how to be personal. We know how to consider other senses. especially, I mean, if you want to take ordinary examples, from what I can see, you can verify if it's so. Anyone who's married, you have to think of someone else's senses. That, you know, like, otherwise, you know, life gets a bit tough. So, you know, senses include the mind. Doesn't mean gross loss. It means subtle loss. You have to consider someone's subtle sensibilities. Otherwise, you know, your home life gets a bit tense. One has to become considerate, sensitive, acknowledge that you're living with another person. Of course, we know that brahmacharis don't have to be considerate. It's part of the strength of the brahmacharya ashram. You just knock each other around. Hey, Prabhu! You stepped across my sleeping bag. No, actually, brahmacharis should be very considerate, very sensitive, too. Just because you're wearing saffron doesn't mean you're exempt from sensitivity and consideration. And indeed, if you want your brahmacharya ashram to grow, the brahmacharis have to show that, those qualities. Otherwise, it becomes a rough house, you know? Knock each other around and leave dirty things, dirty towels here and there, and just, you know, act in a very inconsiderate, hard-nosed manner. So, my point is that everyone, you know, if they're going to exist in a social situation, whether it's a family or an ashram, they have to be considerate and consider the sensibilities of others. We know how to do that. Now, why is it that when it comes to devotional service, all of a sudden we forget all that? And we're so insensitive and inconsiderate in dealing with Krishna. The more you consider Krishna's service, how to do it in a pleasing way, the more you'll be sensitive to Krishna. The service, the devotional service, our daily practical abilities are the avenue for becoming personally sensitive to Krishna. Therefore, whatever service you have, whether it's the restaurant, sankirtan, construction, you're thinking, I'm doing this for Krishna. Don't underestimate the potency of just starting to think like that. It can seem a little trite or sentimental. Maya makes it appear that way. Come on, who are you trying to kid? Making a little thought that you're doing something for Krishna. Come on, you're so far away from Krishna. What are you trying to do? You know, pretend you're a Mahabhagavat thinking about Krishna? There's always this discouragement. Of course, it is easier to think about Krishna by thinking of yourself as assistant of your spiritual master. That is the prescribed method. Guru and Krishna are two tracks that the train runs on. So, one is not without the other. But the easy access is to think of yourself as the humble servant of your spiritual master. I'm doing this for the pleasure of my spiritual master and Krishna. Just a slight beginning in thinking about that is a great breakthrough in bhakti. Don't underestimate the effects. Just like in an ordinary personal relationship, as soon as you start thinking of how to consider the other person's needs, it's a great breakthrough in the relationship. People spend so much money, for example, with marriage counselors. And they go to an astrologer, please help our marriage. You know? And all they basically are finding out is how to consider the other person's needs. How to consider the other person's sensitivities. So in Krishna consciousness, in relation to the Supreme Lord, it's a great breakthrough simply to start considering Krishna's sensitivities and sensibilities, Krishna's service, in terms of how can I do this better. So we need encouragement how to do that. And when there's a group effort to think in that way, then the group becomes very powerful. So don't think it a small thing. Oh, how can I do this better for Krishna? Who do you think you are? No, it's a very serious thing. Very serious thing. Anything else? Yes.
Well, you mentioned like only by preaching we can purely get the internal of the Krishna dilemma. Like, how does everyone engage in preaching, like, you know, all different, like, for this one, like, you know, there are different roles to be performed, and mm-hmm. everyone is in different roles to perform. Mm-hmm. So, how does everyone engage in?
Well, all the different services are contributing to the ultimate result of distributing Krishna consciousness. You have to have backup, you have to have persons who are doing services that so that others can be on the front lines. They're all part of the same effort. But then again, also everyone has a chance, some chance to do some direct outreach activity. So directly, indirectly, everyone has a chance. From what I've seen, everyone does some backup work. Sannyasis, we do backup work. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's not that we're out on the street all day. Oh, we love to be, but it doesn't work like that. You've got to facilitate so many devotees, you know. And also we do direct preaching. Similarly, you all have the chance to do backup work and direct. To varying percentages. If you look in your life, you'll see you have opportunity to do some direct preaching. Maybe working, yes. Still, you have some opportunity. You do the best you can. Krishna's watching. He understands. He's in your heart. Anything else? All right. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.